Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh, and I'm shaving the beard, but I'm keeping the mustache, y'all.
Oh.
You're going to look so weird.
I don't know.
You think?
Yeah.
You would be great.
You are not shaving your beard. Dude,
you would have a great mustache, but mine's kind of a thin mustache. I look more like Higgins than Magnum P.I.
Yeah. Ooh.
And speaking of Magnum P.I., it's Tom Selleck's birthday today.
Woo-hoo. Oh, happy birthday to the mustache.
Yeah.
The man who has inspired millions to be men.
Quickly down under.
Why is it that facial hair is connected to manhood?
Because only men can grow facial hair.
Well, technically, that's not true. There's a lot of women who have mustaches.
Easy. Whoa.
I don't think they're as cool as, you know, Tom Selleck.
There's a difference between growing some hairs on your face and growing a mustache.
That's true.
That's true. His mustache is a living, breathing thing.
Yeah.
It's like a caterpillar. Or like it's like his own unit up there.
Yeah, it has his own zip code or so big. But I was studying his mustache just a minute ago. And I think, scientifically speaking, I think one of the reasons why it's so epic is because he is... has an unusually large space between his upper lip and his nose.
And we discovered that on Friends whenever he shaved the stash.
Which was weird.
That was weird.
He looked like a Who from the Grinch.
Uh-huh. That's true.
It was not right. The mustache is legendary.
Yes. And we discovered that Tom Selleck has no lips.
It's like a hairy lip. That's what his mustache is. It's a hairy lip.
It's a large, hairy upper lip.
Yeah. This is so disgusting.
Well, I grew up watching, I was going to say Hawaii Five-O. It's not Hawaii Five-O.
No.
Well, I watched that too, but
Magnum P.I.
Yeah, you just said it. But that was a great show growing up.
And I'm so young that I really only saw a few episodes of Magnum P.I.
Oh, yeah. Hear that?
Yeah.
I can see the Ferrari Testarossa right now.
You older gentleman.
That was such a cool car.
Oh, my goodness. And what was the guy that flew the helicopter?
Was it TC, right?
TC, that's it. Yes.
Yeah.
All I remember is that this guy with this supposedly extremely masculine mustache liked to wear short shorts that were tight and flowerty button-up shirts.
As did every man in 1984.
That's just a contradiction, like those two things.
He lived in Hawaii. Wasn't it Hawaii?
It was, yes.
That's why I think Hawaii Five-O, because he lived in Hawaii.
Hawaii, yes, of course, yeah. But Higgins, the caretaker of the large estate of a multimillionaire. Yeah.
He was so dapper and polished.
And small.
With a small mustache.
With a small mustache.
A very small man.
Did TC have a mustache? That whole show, every man had a mustache.
Oh, yes. TC did have a mustache.
Really?
It was Mustache P.I. That's what it should have been called.
Mustache P.I.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him in Quigley Down Under. Now, see, I thought that character and the mustache were more in tune with each other.
Yeah, mate.
Well, except that he was an Australian.
That bloke could shoot 500 yards with a long rifle.
Okay, that's not Australian. That's more like lower British.
Hey, yeah.
Low class British.
Hey, look at me. Wait, let me get it. It's got to be more like this. Yeah.
That's Cockney.
Still not doing it for me.
Oh, well. I gave it my best effort.
I think if you grew a little thicker mustache, you might be able to do it. You gotta have it turned up.
Okay, that's enough. All right, Haley, you need to shave your mustache.
Hey, no. I shave daily. Just kidding.
That's great.
Oh boy, happy birthday, Tom Selleck.
Well, Haley is a big deal today because today on the show we are going to be discussing the process of stability. And Haley, being a content partner with Charisma Magazine Online, has written some articles that have gotten some really great feedback about this exact subject. So we're going to kind of mine the heart of Haley today and see what she has to say about the process of stability.
Wow. That's so exciting. I can't wait to hear it.
She has no idea what she's going to say yet.
None at all.
That coming up on the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Identity Music is the music publishing arm of Next Gen Worship. We are a family of creatives who love the presence of God, who desire to see the kingdom advance through creativity and music. We are sound artists. Recorded sound has the power to convey emotion, tell stories, and bring the listener into an experience where time stops for a journey of the heart. We are currently completing our state-of-the-art custom audio recording studio, utilizing industry-standard tools at the core of our creative process. We are asking you to partner with us. We have currently connected with a donor that promises to match dollar for dollar all donations made to complete our studio. That means if you contribute $100, it's like giving $200. There are just a few loose ends to tie up before we can start shaping sounds that change history. Help us. Donate today and have it matched at nextgenworship.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we'll be discussing his unexpected goodness with our good friends from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Actually, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Yeah, that might my be, you might have offended some grounds. People there.
Consumed by Fire. They're kind of a rock band, really.
And family.
Yeah, they're family. Yeah. They're all family. We're all family.
They're brothers.
No, they are. They're actually blood relatives, right? Yeah. They've ministered here in Joplin several times. They travel all over the country, and they kind of have a stealth way of getting into places that, you know, most people that wouldn't darken the door of a church would actually come in and get wrecked by Jesus. So
yeah.
They're doing a really good work. We'll have them on the program next week talking about his unexpected goodness. Today, we are discussing the process of stability. What does this look like, and what is it all about?
Yeah. Well, great topic, and I think this is going to address some gray area in our lives, and we kind of come up with this language out of a blog that you wrote, Haley, the process of stability, just basically meaning us entering a process with Jesus that takes us on a journey, a healthy fruit-bearing journey, versus a journey that's non-productive or a journey left with lots of questions. And I see this a lot. I'm sure you guys do too.
Yeah.
People who have huge question marks on the inside of their lives. They're going through life, especially in Western America, where there's so many expectations because of prosperity, the American dream, go work 40 hours a week, have your perfect family, you know, fit inside the nice church box. What we're talking about, though, is becoming radical lovers of Jesus who have great worldview and a healthy theology. They know who their God is, and they do great exploits with him. So, excellent topic. So excited to have this conversation.
I think it's really an important thing. It's maybe a thing that doesn't get talked about enough because I think we're focused so much on salvation that we forget to go past that initial encounter with Jesus and empower people to empower themselves by allowing Jesus to really get into their life and help them, you know, deal with things. And I think it's less about sin, stop sinning, stop these behaviors, and more about allowing Jesus to develop who he wants you to be in your life.
Behavior modification is an endless battle, right?
Thumbs down, yeah.
You'll never modify your behavior to the point where you are good enough or righteous enough or holy enough or saved enough. And really, by partnering with Holy Spirit, I love the idea, the concept that Holy Spirit revealed to me some time ago about being in Jesus' name. Like it's not like magic word that abracadabra and then people get healed or delivered. It is being in Jesus' name. In someone's name, contextually, culturally, it meant that you had the reputation of that individual.
Yeah.
So whenever a wealthy man would send his servant to market, he could purchase items in the name of his master. Mm. So when Jesus says that now you have all authority, he has given us his reputation. And we can now operate as Jesus. And not only that, we're motivated by his motives.
Yeah.
We're motivated by his heart and we're operating out of love, not out of fear. We're operating out of mission, not out of obligation. And so partnering with him brings true stability, not because we get better, but because we become more like him.
Yeah. And that's a great point because that is our purpose. You know, Paul talked about this. He said, I labor as a woman in childbirth till Christ be formed in you. Mm. Why is that so important? It's because Jesus is perfect theology.
Yeah.
And he walked the earth as a man, just like us. Okay? That changes everything when we think about that, because now instead of it all being inward focused, like some of the American gospel has been, it's been about me getting better, me being prosperous, me doing this, me doing that. It's about me interfacing this world and transforming it with who Jesus is, which is essentially the kingdom come, heaven on earth. And so we see this expression of heaven because we are not just, you know, regurgitating facts to everyone we meet about God. We're actually carrying his nature as an encounter.
Yeah.
So we become nature bearers. We actually are formed into his image. And that is this process. And it is crucial that, and I think maybe we could even call it discipleship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, discipleship has been a class where you learn things about God. But the discipleship that we're talking about is like life on life, where there's radical transformation in the way we think, the way we believe, and the way we respond in the kingdom of this earth.
Instead of behavior modification, is more of an identity modification, because you're born into a lie, basically, is how I view it, unfortunately, because of the way, you know, the world is. You're born into, you know, a family where there's dysfunction, where you're told, you know, you are this or you are that, or you're not this or not that. And the reality is that deep inside there is the seed of who God wants you to be. So we're going about the process of unveiling that and allowing him to make it kind of spring up inside of us. And when we understand who we are, when we understand our identity, it changes everything about the way we live. Like, I was just talking to some young girls, and I was talking to him about the show Downton Abbey, which, you know, most women love. But it was that, you know, the people upstairs, they understand their identity. They understand their title, and it affects the way that they behave. And also the people below stairs, they understand their identity, and it affects the way that they behave. So I really think that when we get that, when we go through this process of becoming who God wants us to be, it just naturally affects the decisions that we make in life. And it's not hard anymore. You know, it's not resisting temptation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think this is so critical because we'll maybe hear a little bit about your story, but there is so much damage under the scenes that has been done in people's lives that we don't see on the surface. We're talking about abuse. We're talking about all kinds of things in childhood things that leave people deeply scarred, completely wrecks their identity, leaves them bound in shackles of shame, rejection, all of these things. So people sometimes can get really good at putting on a nice veneer, even though there are horrible things lurking under the surface that have been done to them, that have scarred them. And this thing that you're talking about, Haley, is actually allowing Jesus to touch those things.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think it's so powerful, because we're not talking about just a renewing of the mind where, like, okay, I understand. Because you hear people say all the time, oh, I know I'm a son of God, you know, but they have deep rejection, deep shame issues, deep issues that prevent love, that prevent connection, and all these things. And what you're talking about, Haley, is really a healing down to the elemental foundational place of who we are that causes us to be different people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's something that I wish I had encountered earlier on in my life. But yet, if I look back, I see that I don't know that I could have done it. You know, I don't know that I was in a place where I would have allowed Jesus to help me, you know. So the time is now.
That's good.
I think it kind of goes back to what Jesus said when he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." It is this surrendering our way of doing it to allowing him to do it with us. It's almost like you were talking about the seed. You know, Paul talks about us being the workmanship created for good works in Jesus that were prepared beforehand. This is like we are his masterpiece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has this masterpiece planted inside of each and every one of us that we contribute to this big picture. When Jesus is added to that seed, there's an explosion of new reality, of new life. And so people walk around with this dead seed planted in the ground that's never seen sunlight or water. And that sunlight and water, he is the light. He is the water of the word. And whenever those come together, things begin to grow inside of us. And they overcome those past things that we have allowed to shape who we are. We now become something completely new, and it overshadows anything that we ever were.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about becoming powerful people, and maybe that's not a mindset that everybody has, because the Western Church has really curated this false humility type theology where you can't become great, you can't become powerful, or it's prideful. That's just really a big fat lie. Let's expose that thing right now. Was Jesus powerful and great? Yes. Absolutely. Was he also the most humble and meek person ever to walk the face of the earth? Yes. Absolutely. So those are partners together. They go hand in hand. The fact is, we cannot partner with power or greatness when we haven't allowed Jesus to touch pain inside of us, when we haven't allowed Jesus to go and lift us up, so to speak. It's just a really radical, supernatural invitation from Holy Spirit to transfigure us, to make us more in the image of Jesus, that empowers us to, like we say, you know, carry heaven and have a culture shifting encounter for people.
So we're talking about the process of stability, and we're doing something today that we've never done before. We're actually interviewing one of us. It's kind of a new thing, and we don't really talk about our own lives that much, but we're going to get to know Haley a little bit better today and interview her when we come back from the break.
What would it look like if a whole city responded in unison to the Lord? What would it look like for a city to love God together? Our worship shifts atmospheres and makes it easier for prisoners to be set free. It's time to unite. Started in February 2015 by worship leaders in our area, Unite Worship Gatherings are regional worship events devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. There is no agenda, no preaching. Our focus is fully on His presence. Regional worship leaders, worshiping in the round. Everyone is encouraged to join in as we host the presence of God in a greater way for our region. God's heart is burning for our city. We invite you, our family, to unite the body of Christ. Unite Worship Gatherings are hosted by a different church every month, and we would love for you to be a part. We are in need of technical support and on-site prayer partners. If you have a desire to join forces with like hearts, we invite you to attend our training workshop, March 16th, hosted at Impact Life Church. We will be focusing this workshop on sound design for Unite Worship Gatherings. Find out more at uniteworshipgatherings.com.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be talking with Consumed by Fire about his unexpected goodness. Today, we are going to do a little something different. We're going to interview one of our very own, and we're talking about the process of stability. Our interview today is with Miss Haley Kaler.
Haley, welcome to the studio.
It's so nice of you to have me.
Oh, well, we have discussed this topic a lot and kind of talked on and off about doing a show around some of these thoughts that you've been sharing in the articles you've been writing and really just in your own journey with Jesus. And I would like to talk a little bit more about your history and bring people on a journey from where you started to where you are now in 12 minutes to help people see really what's happening. I think it will be a great encouragement to people who find themselves stuck or without hope. So take us on a little journey.
Well, I am one of four children. I come from a home where my parents were divorced. I was very young when that happened. It was fairly traumatic. It wasn't that, oh, how they do it nowadays, where we'll be divorced and co-parent and have a nice relationship with each other. It was like the opposite of that. So I grew up experiencing, you know, at a very young age, rejection and abandonment. And I think that there's just no way to go through, you know, a divorce situation and not as a child experience that. I came from a fairly extreme amount of poverty. I experienced sexual abuse at a very young age. And so As a young child, I grew up with these ideas about myself that I never really understood. And then those later ended up being behaviors as a teenager or into adulthood that I just didn't understand. Now that I'm approaching 40, I have experienced the Lord really getting down deep in my heart and changing me, which has been amazing. It's very powerful.
So tell us what life was like before you started embracing this process with Jesus. What were some of the symptoms or some of the mindsets or the life positions that you found yourself in, even as a Christian, even mm-hmm. as a worship leader, you know, doing all these things in the kingdom, there's still something that was amiss or something wrong?
Well, I remember as a child at a very young age, having my heart turned toward God. And having a sense of connection with God that has been there, you know, my whole life. And yet there was a tremendous amount of internal chaos, insecurity. My emotions were out of control. I was very unstable emotionally and prone to just, I don't even know what to call it, but instability. I was just a little bit out of control. I had a very poor self-image. And had a constant need for attention from men. I had a constant like hunger for attention from my uncles or my grandpa or my youth pastor, or then as I turned to a teenager, boys, because there's just this hole on the inside that needed to be filled. And I had no clue how to fill it. And people, you know, say, Jesus, come and fill that place in your life. But then they never really tell you how to go about doing that. So I didn't know how to do it. You know, I went to church, I worshiped, I participated on the youth worship team, the youth drama team. I went on missions trips to Mexico. I did all of these things. And still there was this inner struggle that I just didn't understand. It wasn't until I made a commitment to look at myself and look at my life honestly that the Lord began to really be able to touch those places. Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about what that looked like when you say, you know, look at your life honestly. But first, take us a little bit inside of your head, so to speak, and tell us how all of these things that happened to you affected the way you viewed God and the way you viewed yourself.
I always viewed God as very far away. I always viewed him as kind of angry. An angry sovereign who can, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. I viewed that scripture as the judgments of God being bad, rain on the just and the unjust. So he may just decide, well, screw you. Sorry. But that's how I viewed life. You know, I also had a tendency to be like, well, I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not going to allow myself to be a victim. I'm going to be strong. So what does that turn into? I'm going to be strong apart from God, and I'm not going to allow myself to deal with anything. Because when you deal with things, it gets emotional and it gets messy. And I connected that to weakness and being a victim. So my whole life, I had a false front of I'm going to be strong. And I think I went into our marriage with that. I went into it insecure and not understanding how to be authentic and vulnerable. I think now looking back, it's affected the way I grew up, the way I approached marriage, even the way I mothered. So, you know, I'm excited now to allow the Lord to deal with things.
Yeah. So tell us when this process started of you beginning to look at your life honestly. And I've heard you use phrases like, Jesus, I want to feel everything. Take us on that journey and tell us how that process started and when it started.
I think the process started 3 or 4 years ago. I began to feel like I had a story to tell. But it wasn't until last May, it was actually on Mother's Day, I was given some information about my family history, and things that had happened to my family that I saw had affected my whole childhood. But when you're young, you don't, you know, memories are fuzzy and you don't understand things. And I remember having feel like the breath got knocked out of me, but then I just sat down. I don't even know if you remember this, but I went outside. I just went on a walk and I sat down on our picnic table and I looked up at the stars and I said, okay, Jesus, I'm going to do this with you. I'm not going to bury this. I want to feel everything that I need to feel connected to this and walk through it with you. And that is a complete opposite of what I had been doing my whole life, where you just, you know, ignore things and think they go away. Well, they just sit in there and fester. So that really began a process with me, a process that was fairly emotional and extremely messy, but I had committed to be authentic. And so I embraced it. I embraced the anger that I knew was coming. I had some honest conversations with God where my language was not probably what most church people would consider appropriate. I allowed him to hear what it was like to be me. And you know what I found is that he is so much bigger and more wonderful than I thought. He wasn't offended by my pain. He wasn't offended by my language. He wasn't offended by even the fact that I admitted that I was had been angry with him, you know? And so I kind of went to a place, you know, King David did it all the time in the Psalms. He was very honest. And so I went to that place with Jesus and I was unashamed to go there. And I found so much freedom and have been just for the last several months coming into this knowledge of my own worth according to Jesus. And it's not self-important. It's almost like you find out how valuable you really are and how much worth you have, except that it's not about you. It's such a strange thing. It's been incredibly healing, but I will say that it was messy.
Mm-hmm. We need like 2 hours to really talk about this, but yeah. Let's kind of put a bookend on this for now and just talk to the person who maybe was Haley a year or two ago. You know, somebody that is dealing with a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, you know, things in their life, maybe that nobody even knows about.
Yeah.
Encourage that person, because you talked about nobody told me how to fill the hole.
Yeah.
What do you say to that person?
Well, I think that the only way to do it is to walk through it. There's no way to walk through pain. Like, there's no fast forward. There's no escalator belt like in the airports that take you through it quickly. You have to walk through it. And the only way to do it is with Jesus, and to not be afraid of being honest and authentic and being angry. I don't think it's wrong to be angry. You know, I think about this a lot of times. People want to be like those ornamental pear trees. They grow really fast, they have really pretty flowers, and they're weak. And the first big storm that comes along, they fall down, they break. I always felt that our tendency to be so focused on sin and I don't want to go to hell, that created a rushed environment in my heart. And the Lord is not rushed. He is absolutely willing to walk through it slowly with you, because he wants you to become an oak tree. He wants you to become this big, tall, humongous, strong, stout thing on the inside. And he's willing to walk through it however slowly you need to walk through it. So I would just say, commit to the process. Commit to it one day at a time, and commit to being authentic and feeling what you feel without shame and without fear, because he's big enough to do it.
Yeah, that's so good. I really appreciate you being so transparent with us and with everyone listening. I'll say it, it's cliche, but thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you for having me.
God is not offended by you. It's such a wonderful thing to hear anyone, but especially one of our own, be completely open and honest and say the things that people need to hear.
Yeah.
People need to hear this stuff. So proud of you,
Haley. Thank you.
Next week, we'll be talking about his unexpected goodness. What a perfect spinoff of today's show. And we'll be sitting down with Consumed by Fire and talking about some of their latest projects and how they're influencing the earth to bring kingdom here. We'll explore the Father's heart and find out what he wants for our generation and the generations to come. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.